Hey everyone, we've got another exciting episode of Scrotus POTUS. Joining me this week, two great comedians, one all the way from America, Missouri. We've got Will Franken, we've got Craig Campbell all the way from Canada. We're going to talk a lot of interesting things: freedom of speech, freedom of press, leaks, Donald Trump's vacation. Is it too much? How many vacations do you take? It's hurricane season in August. How is that going to affect the president? And we're going to talk about a lot of other different things, including tours, great road stories. Hey, look, share, listen, subscribe. This is Scrotus POTUS. We keep getting better. Guys, it's summer break for POTUS. How's your summers going, Will? What are you, your summer going so far? You've been filming?
Been filming, still trucking away on the Red, White, and Blake project, the documentary about William Blake, which is turning into a bit of a, I call it a Pink Floyd The Wall with nationalism as its undercurrent, and also heavily scripted by William Blake.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's a little light summer so far.
A little light summer. Very, very, very near the end. I say we'll have this damn thing done hopefully within 7 to 14 days.
Nice. That's good. Good to have deadlines. Craig, what are you?
I have my summer now is just marveling Will's summer.
Oh, I know last two times I've been here, I keep going on about this project, but that's one thing that I'm realizing. Mm. Like I'm presenting the case that Blake would have made, that when he says things like poetry fetters the human race, he's talking about political correctness. But then when you look at the notion of like the artist of today, or the people who call themselves artists, are really like, they're mostly businessmen, for one. They're not. It's not inspiration. What's that?
Here comes the army.
Exactly.
I'm an artist.
Yes. Absolutely.
I guess then we could say the same. Will that hold for Donald Trump then?
What's
I guess
that?
As well. Would that hold for Donald Trump? You have all these political people, and he's that so apolitical. He's actually political.
Dude, I was thinking of that on the way here. Exactly.
That maybe he's because he wanted to drain the swamp. He wants to be so out there that is a result of him wanting to be this guy. He's actually the ultimate politician. People like him. Well, sort of hate him. Yeah. But he was the guy saying, screw you to the establishment. And the other people hate him. He's not one of us. He's not one of us.
Yeah.
He's not real. Don't listen to him.
Yeah.
He's not a politician. We're politicians. Trust us. We're politicians.
Yeah, sure.
So you mean he's more authentic? Side.
What's that?
He's saying he's more authentic.
Yes.
He's an authentic.
As a manipulator.
You think he's as a manipulator?
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah, somebody who, like, you know, to justify the end.
True,
But the idea that Trump is a manifestation of this caricature that you're talking about, absolutely.
Well, also the manifestation that he, in sort of, in a sense, became what politics didn't want, which was a shining light under their nether regions, which was
yes, very good.
Which
like
was
that.
To look at the PACs, the super PACs, the fundraising, to look at the so-called swamp and the so-called unfairness, and so by doing so, saying, I'm going to show you this.
Yeah.
He almost became that politician that no politician wanted to be, an honest
one.
Even if you don't like what he's saying, he's still out there tweeting it.
Yeah. I'm excited now by the place that we're in. I quite enjoy, and maybe it's a sick enjoyment of people, like normal people, starting to realize there's enough of a clamor that they're thinking, wow, like maybe the mainstream news hasn't been authentic.
Mm.
But these people, this pool of like new people who are a tiny bit like cued to that have nowhere to look.
Yeah.
Right. Then they're just left in a morass of like, what have I been believing and for how long have I been believing it?
Yeah.
And that's what's interesting for me to watch, because the idea that like they're trying to make, I saw this last night that made sense to me, that, you know, the attack on Trump, the man is the problem. The attack on Trump, the concept or the, you know, the movement is, you know, that's what should be attacked, or the system that's creating that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But the idea that it's become into a slinging match, like you're in a sense, the idea that there's a real narrative of Trump versus Obama now.
Mm.
And the idea that like Obama was in any way good for that empire is incredible.
The American Empire.
That there's even like that paradigm that exists. That
he was horrible.
We don't even have to go down that hole to know about that.
Yeah.
But similarly, that there's like whatever it is, we can chuck it in the air, is 42% that are like, that really think Hillary getting in would have been a great idea.
But so Trump, he's on vacation now. A lot of people were saying, 17 days. I mean, how many vacation days he's taken?
In New Jersey.
He's like not too far away. He's not too far away from the White House. Like most presidents are like, I'm going to Fiji. I'm going to Bali.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm just going up the road.
Good for him.
On my own property.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, on my own property.
It's really hard to hate that.
While he's still making, you know,
is there a pond? Is he going to fish on that?
Well, there's people still having weddings and making money off of the, you know, so he's still like, hey, how you doing? How's the wedding going? Hey, how you doing? It's good.
Of course.
Exactly.
still enjoy Donald Trump.
Don't steal the don't steal the towels. Yeah. No, seriously, don't steal the fucking towels. You know?
Yeah, I know people now.
But is it wrong? I mean, the guy needs a vacation. His approval rating is at 33%. Mm. Talk about.
Do we actually think, not to totally debase all of this, but we don't actually think he's in charge, though, right? We don't actually think that. We know, he's the action for it.
That's my argument. He should be in charge.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's interesting because historically August, whenever people take off in August, bad things happen. Yeah. Okay. So, let's see, in 2001, George W. Bush took off and the CIA said, hey, this Bin Laden guy, he could be doing something soon within a month, September 11th. 2005, Katrina happened. That was not good for George W. Bush. I'll finish my vacation.
That was hideous.
I'll never forget that day, by the way. I remember driving across country. I was doing one of those three-day trips from New York to L.A., and halfway through, that's when Katrina happened. And I was going through Missouri, and I remember thinking, as a joke, I thought they're going to find a way to blame the hurricane on Bush. And they did.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Well, you have.
They found a way to do it.
Well, the response, I think.
It was a response.
Yeah, but his followers blamed the hurricane.
Problem being that in August, people sometimes take the foot off the gas. And if you had Barack Obama as well, when you had Ferguson in 2011.
Yeah.
But hurricanes?
Well, but the thing is, a hurricane is always going to happen. In fact, the chance of a hurricane happening in August is massive. In fact, there is like a 60% chance we're going to have a kicker of a hurricane as it gets warmer and as we see the hot water going up.
So
it's just a matter of, hey, where are you going to be? Yeah. You know, Gulf Coast, who's going to take it in the jaw this time, you know?
Yeah.
And that's always, for a president, you wonder how bad that's going to be. It's like, is it a get-out-of-bed hurricane? Is it, can I sleep in? Can I finish shitting and tindering?
Why have you
kind of hurricane?
Me up?
Yeah, exactly.
Of course. But I was more thinking regarding hurricanes. I'm more worried about who do you give authority to?
Sure, yeah.
In America, when you chuck it to the army or something, it's just that gets really awkward really quick. Yeah. Like, you know, the army massacres people all the time.
Well, it's
right?
Also
making what are you talking about?
Grenada.
That was a while ago.
Yeah, it was the Marines as well. But to be fair, if you leave the Americans in charge of somewhere and there's a lot of civilians around. Yeah, I think Vietnam proved that pretty much.
That was
a
long time ago.
Yeah, yeah, but that's still you guys. And that's some of the stuff you do. Fallujah. That stuff still exists.
Who was it?
We're a part of it. I'm not like,
I heard
only
Trump the other day.
Didn't
Trump
about the West.
Trump said this the other day, I think, in regard to Vietnam. He said, I don't know if it was Trump or some commentary on it, but he said something about there was a general that he really resented because he kept saying, I'm rewatching William F. Buckley's firing lines. These things are amazing.
Right, yeah.
They're all on YouTube now. But in one of them, he says that he resented there was a particular general who would always say, it was Johnson. Lyndon Johnson would always say what they would not do.
The killer.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the killer Johnson, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the Democrat. Johnson.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
and he would come out, he resented the fact that Johnson would say, well, we will not use nuclear weapons in Vietnam. He said, I don't want them to use nuclear weapons in Vietnam.
But I want them to think
stop,
we can.
Exactly. Stop saying what you won't do.
I don't know if we talked about it before, but it's something that I think about a lot, and it came essentially through the analysis of the Snowden chronology.
Yeah.
You know, his, I don't know if you,
oh,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah,
yeah, yeah the, what turned him, if you know his story, you know, that he just thought, bankers are bad people.
Yeah.
You know, like, he became the broken arrow and went off. But the concept...
Did you see the film, by the way?
No, I didn't. No, but good. Thank
I don't like Stone
thank
at all.
God. Yeah, I hate, you know, the idea of confusing myself with fiction. You know? It's just where did I get that? It's, you know, product placement is next. I like ketchup. Ah. Yeah. But the idea that they really placed in that instance that the individual's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Like the idea that a guy can get a hold of, he got the briefcase.
Yeah.
Which one? Oh my God, the one with the handcuff on him. Is he out of the building? He's up the river. You know, that's mad that they've put this sense that like one guy can be the one man disaster.
To bring it all down.
Like, can bring it all down. And then next thing you know, we've all got our shoes off at the airport and everybody's under the same scrutiny, even though, you know, your grandmother obviously isn't doesn't have a belt on, but they got her naked and,
picturing that.
Yeah.
But is this getting, I mean, we're sort of talking about this. Is this leak crisis? Is this a way of actually, is the leaks?
Diversion?
I mean, is it a diversion? Because when you look at these leaks and these leaks that have come out, the only real thing that was bad, sort of, was Trump telling Russia about ISIS and giving away confidential stuff. Mm-hmm. That is it. Other than that, there's no leak that is a threat to national security that so far have happened out of this crap.
Well, no, but the accusation is that they've completely manipulated the election process. Like, that's the overt ridiculousness of...
But do you think the Russians really manipulated that?
No!
Whole? Yeah.
No. Of course not! But
why the fuck are we talking? Like, why is this distraction?
How can it be that an insane distraction, is my point.
Well, that's it. Because you wonder if the three-card Monty is, you're watching this distraction, what the fuck is happening under the
Korea!
Table?
And we're seeing this Russia thing is absolute lunacy.
Yes.
And has been from day one since they realized this. Wait a second, she might not win.
Have you heard the
and
clip
even though she's
that
got,
first revealed it?
What's that?
In the debates? You heard the clip that first revealed it? I heard it recently, sectioned. Just where she diverted from a direct question about
to
something
Russia.
Or other. And then just went, that Russia is now involved in colluding in our.
But I think that's what they're doing.
Affecting our process.
Whoever the establishment is has been spinning around forever and getting their way. And all of a sudden, it's like we got nothing to go on but this Russia thing, but who cares? The cameras are nose. We got CNN.
Just keep talking in circles.
Is it sort of that Wizard of Oz thing that now the curtain's down, we can see the wizard? You realize, well, what the hell's going on? Like, why are they lying to us? What's going on? What are we really talking
about? Because most people don't see the wizard.
And I think we believe they do. The American political system, doesn't mind using murder as a weapon.
Yeah,
I wonder, like, you get.
But
into,
I wish they would take out the North Korea dictator. I mean, they could snipe him.
Well, they think they could, but if they tried, we might all
the
die.
The fallout. Yeah, there's that fallout.
I mean, if you take him out, because he is, his dad,
but when
his
you
dad
know,
is
cuckoo. Still, you still have a lot of stuff that's tied in, including his generals, that they have the first strike. And anytime, when you have a nuclear power like America, the other only option that exists for a country like North Korea is first strike, which is... Hit first.
Yeah.
Just going to hit you first and see what happens. But, going to that conspiracy, I don't believe North Korea exists.
What, as a country?
as an entity, as a country, as a philosophy.
That's good, because it's that threatening. That's you want to keep it that fantastic.
Just, so there's no 38th parallel?
No, it doesn't exist. There's no Asia. I've never been.
Yeah.
You should try kimchi.
I believe in Asians.
Does it
sound
so good? But I mean, that's sort of the ridiculousness that people get to, where it's like, they can just claim these bombastic things like, I've never seen it, so the whole country doesn't exist. No, I've never seen it.
But what if your identity is made up of lies, and you get the impression, and that's my whole theory, is that the error gets in because of numbers. You've got how many comedians, this is why, when I did those awards last year for the bad, bland comedy.
They're so good.
We had a group of
well done.
15 to 20 up there.
Yeah, yeah. But you're
on
you're,
the hill.
But the writing, and he took, like a great orator took the thought to create beyond what he could do himself.
Yeah.
And every kind of basis was covered, strangers were down. Yeah. And,
greediest PR
tourists,
agent, everything.
Yeah, tourists from Germany or whatever.
But
think
about that. We had, how many comedians? We said 1,000? I mean, how many shows are up there?
Yeah,
and in 3 days, the power of all of the concentration of the entire comedy industry is contained within one city, and they had a good 3 days between the nominations and the presentation of the awards to come up with a satirical counter response, and all they could do was bitch on Twitter, because they are nothing but numbers.
Mm-hmm.
They do not believe in the individual; they only believe in the collective. Their art is all collectivization, and that's how these errors get in. It's just one person tells the other person, and therefore it gains strength. And when you come in, and your job as a satirist especially is to rain on their parade, they're going to reject. But I used to always say that I can turn any socialist into a capitalist. I just need the right profit motive and a room where they can't speak for about, I'd say, 2 hours. They shut up, no interruptions for 2 hours. I lock you in. You'll leave here a free market supporter, probably a Trump supporter and a Brexit supporter. But just
maybe a Scientologist,
up.
Too? Yeah. Maybe a Scientologist as well, just
God,
for fun?
No, they're almost as bad as the...
Do you believe in hypnosis? Sorry to interrupt.
Somebody tried to once, and I felt so guilty. I just told them I was under. Yeah. Yeah, I'm down. I feel, yeah.
But
I'm
you don't believe in it?
I believe it's possible. It
do you?
It didn't work for me because my head's so loud.
Okay, because I find it like...
Are you licensed as well in that?
No.
He's a licensed hypnotic pilot.
Hypnotic pilot.
Yeah. You'd rather me not be hypnotic, I don't think. No, I don't know... how much people enjoy flying with me. I enjoy flying, but...
What kind of aircraft? Like,
just little ones.
Little Cessnas.
Cessnas.
If you actually look at hypnosis, or the subconscious mind works when you're actually traveling. When you're driving and you forget you're driving somewhere, your subconscious mind takes over.
Takes over,
And you just sort of get there, you're like, How the fuck did I?
Yeah, you don't want that. You don't want that to happen.
Yeah. But there's, that does happen for people who do like day-to-day jobs when you're like driving in traffic and you just tune out.
What's interesting, if I can give some like science behind that, that you're, when you naturally or when your eyes adjust to focus on a on an opaque palette, sky, you relax to about 6 feet.
Yeah.
Your focal point becomes about, so, you know, that same idea if you're driving in traffic or whatever. Like, if you just drift off and you're not thinking about anything, you're focused about 6 feet beyond the end of the car. Yeah. And that, you know,
the
that's obviously in front of you, or tractor, you know, going slow or, that's why.
Which is why sometimes I think a lot of road rage happens, because a lot of people get comfortable in this aquarium shell that they have. And then suddenly it's like, you've interrupted my time. Now I've got to use my frustration because I hate my life and job, so I want to physically attack you. But not really.
I hadn't thought about it before, but I do now think that it could also be, you realize that they have to be studied in terms of their acting on the drug of adrenaline. Noradrenaline. I've never actually thought of that.
Well,
It's like they've already been like, you know, that fear that you get when you nearly hit something. And
it's like waking up someone. You're waking them up suddenly. And, oh my God, I'm going to fight you.
And you've like deadened their nerves in a way, right? Like you've made them invincible. Yeah. And fuck, it's a bizarre concept.
And also question their control, because as a result of which, everyone thinks that they have ultimate control when they're driving. I'm the best. I'm the best driver. You! Look at you and your stinking ways.
I have a gun story that's related
to that. The problem with bumming into people with guns?
Three times I've had guns pulled on me in my life, but this one, I'll only show
not
one.
Not at the awards.
Not at the awards.
Goodness.
I was road rage. You know, somebody tried to cut in front of me. Where the fuck did you learn how to drive? Fucking idiot. And then I keep driving, and he follows me, and then he chases me, and we're all around San Francisco. I'm going, this motherfucker's not letting go. Then we come to a stoplight. He gets out, flashes the chrome. You know, that was way out of line. You were right, because that was the way I would have. It's just a gun is a good truth serum.
Oh,
you just have to see it, and it changes your attitude about everything. You just see a totally different attitude about driving and who was at fault.
Anything. You just pull a gun on anywhere.
Yeah.
Blow up those birthday candles.
Yeah.
Blow up those candles.
Exactly.
What was the other two quick?
I just get the first one. The first one was at 9, 10 years old.
Gun stories.
9, 10 years old. But I'm walking with my cousin Richie up the hill. You know, it's back in Missouri. Yeah. We're walking up the hill. Kids are bored. It's before the internet. And there's a big old shed down there in the distance. My cousin Richie picks up a rock. He says, I bet I can hit that shed with that rock. And he throws it. And we hear it hit the shed. And we keep walking up the road. And about 5 minutes later, old pickup truck drives by. His big fat farmer gets out. 38 snub nose. Who threw the fucking rock? He did.
Holy shit. On kids.
Children
kids.
And guns.
Madmen. Wow.
But it's amazing because both of our fingers. He did.
And you didn't throw any more rocks.
Didn't throw any more rocks.
I hope you went and got a gun after that, because don't bring rocks to a gunfight.
I've only used other people's guns.
Yeah.
On targets. Not people.
Yeah.
Well, people can be targets.
Sure. Yeah.
They can be.
Yes.
As we often know.
There's not a big gun culture. I've shot guns over here.
Have you? Here? What is the range?
Yeah.
Nice.
Have you ever read that book, or were you made, as in Canada, we get made to read the most ridiculous books in school, The Most Dangerous Game?
Oh, yeah, you go hunting prey?
Human
prey, yeah, of course. Exactly. I kind of wrote that in my head with my G.I. Joes.
Now I don't have gun stories, but we'll shock Will perhaps. What about Night of the Grizzlies? Did they make you read that?
No.
Okay, but maybe just a Western thing.
Yeah, just Western. We didn't have the big grizzlies. We had the black bears, so I mean, they weren't as big. You could scare them with a...
This was a massacre, though. This is just like a death fest where two bears went nuts on the same night, like two unrelated incidences in the same national park.
So this is a story they gave to children to take home to read
before. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's why it's still here in my mind.
That'll make you stay
terrifying for
kids. We used to have to sing like racist songs in like the War of 1812. You know, we'd sing the 18, and we use the N-word.
You were
it.
Eastern.
Yeah,
use the N-word. Eastern.
1812.
Yeah. Dun, 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 in 1813, we took a little trip along Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. So we do this.
Is that a Canada thing?
No, it's a Southern song, but in the original version of it, the N-word is in it. And I just remember distinctly, like even in grade 4, going, I don't know about this one.
In 1812, we took a little trip.
Yeah,
1814.
Yeah,
1814. And then you took they make a alligator into a blunderbuss. Okay. But the N-word is still prevalent. Like, it's in there twice.
What is the N-word again?
Yeah, that one. That is that sort of polemic thing that when you do something, it polarizes people and they attack. Like the comedy, that's what I find with comedy these days. People are looking. Like, people are looking to they want to find a comedian that they want to attack for saying something that hurts them.
I think the pitchforks are out, but I don't know how, like, sort of, I don't think they think that much, Wade. That's why I intersect on that.
Because
there's no process of thinking going on in that sort of behavior.
It's just a goldfish responding to the fucking castle.
Yeah, because remember, like, you can say whatever you want.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, remember that. Like, yeah. and I'm a fictional character. That,
hypothetically.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Hypothetically. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's why it bothers me when it's in the context of a stage.
Yeah.
Because that civilians or that even other comedians, and you see this a lot as well, talk about what can be done on stage. And just oh, can you quit doing that? Because that's like not even a conversation.
Yeah.
Like,
in other words, you're saying we should be beyond that by now.
Of course.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's a stage. That's why it's still the stage.
And when you see this
downtown,
I am for freedom of speech, absolutely. Yeah, but I don't believe in hurting feelings.
You said the butt. As soon as they say the butt, it's just like it's your guy in tattoos that's just like, dude, you gotta get out of here. Like that's
I meant tear up the Bible and stick a crucifix up your ass.
Defy the things that I was thinking could be defied.
Exactly.
Which is insane that they possessed that to like, you know, to make it a personal decision. That's what also bothers me about it, because it doesn't come from the hypothetical point of view. Like, who cares? You know, people have to not understand, you know, perhaps be told that who cares at all what you think? Who cares what you're like? You have to discard that right away. You think?
Yeah.
Nobody cares. It just doesn't matter.
But there's always sometimes it comes at an economic cost or a political cost for people, whether it's on your TV or someone who represents you, that you have to apologize.
Of course.
Mm. And there's a strategy to apology into how quickly you do it. You know, who you're doing it to.
Sure.
Does it value? Do you mean it?
Of course.
You know, and that becomes... Yeah. And it's sort of an interesting thing now, too, that's sort of come up now with this UK, this new right to be forgotten law, which means you can sort of say, hey, Facebook, I don't want you. I don't want you having this stuff on me.
That's great.
But does it then go to the other point where it's like, I want you to take that down? I don't like that. Is it going to be a point
that's
where...
That's already happening.
But is it going to be a point where people can say, hey, Facebook, you know what? She posted a picture of me. I don't like this album. We're not friends anymore. Yeah. Is it going to a point where the law itself is good, but the micromanaging comes down, where we're actually just going to be little bitches in the schoolyard, you know?
I love that. I love it.
But it's going to...
Wait, just like, this is impractical.
Well, it does seem impractical, because you're asking... The whole thing about Google and Facebook is you sign up to these guys and say, look... Yeah, you can sell my stuff to merchandisers and whatever else.
Yeah.
You just give me your little platform that I can play with.
Yeah.
And that's, we agree to that. And we agree to their terms and conditions. We agree that, you know, if I put a picture of a dick holding a bag of dicks, sucking on a dick, that Facebook's going to go, you know what, community standards. And that's fine. I've been banned 3 or 4 times.
I get it.
Yeah, I get it.
But did you do that? Did you put a dick on the bag of dicks?
I had one.
Pretty close.
No, it was a Christmas card. The last time I got banned, I had a Christmas card, but it was Santa's. It was like Santa in the sack, but Santa's sack was actually testicles.
Yeah.
And it was just, you could just see, but it was, you see a nail.
You had to look close.
Testicles, but it was like,
and it
was
good.
Funny, and it was Christmas.
My issue with it right now is, and the reason I said it's already happening, is because it's happening legally and financially, right? Yeah. Like, that's what Hollywood's doing on YouTube every 10 minutes, right? Like, telling you what music you can't use in your home video, and, you know, so they're like, there are bots that are on it and managing it, but the threshold is just, is it financially viable for them to want to, like, take you to court to do so? Mm. So now the idea that they're just, once again, just, you know, handing it out to the plebs, like, hey, Avery, you can get your bag of dicks off of the internet or whatever. Yeah. It's just like,
I think it's also for a lot of people, you know, the law comes down to a lot of it, whether it's, say, your kid died and you want to take the profile back or you want to take it off. It's also saying, like, I don't want to have this. I don't want to be part of this. It's basically saying, I don't want to be inclusive in your full digital way.
But you're part of history as well, aren't you?
Sure.
We're all part of a historical record. And there's something like, I read something again last night. I don't know if you caught my hometown, Calgary, the five-person murder. Have you seen that? Just like just a heinous murder that happened with somebody who was mentally ill. Mm. And he thought that, like, for a minute or two when people left the house, that he was fighting werewolves and vampires, and, you know, goes
bananas, kills all those grizzly books you guys read.
But the story is coming from the point of view, or my knowledge of it is coming from the point of view of his best friend and one of the people involved at the house party that went wrong.
Yeah.
And it's interesting in that they're train of thought his experience is like, it's a year anniversary since the deaths, and now he knows how the press works, he's like, he's a buddy who was at a party and a guy went nuts and he showed up 10 minutes later and now his life is that, right? So it's hard to like take away, and he even acknowledges that, just as like, you know, you have to go do your interviews and you have to, you
but
know,
the killer,
like, The best friend of the killer, the who's only involved by happenstance.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, he's like, his life is suddenly just kaboom. Like,
that's what,
like,
this reminds me of a joke I wanted to do about a serial killer, Peter Sutcliffe. He's like, you know what? I write poetry. And everybody, it's the same shit. Yeah. It tells about the strangling.
Yeah, of course.
I am more than my serial killing.
But it comes down to that point that if you do have that, when you want to take away and start a new identity, it's like Bernie Madoff's kids. I don't know if you watched that documentary, the HBO movie.
De Niro?
It's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. No,
but it was about his kids only found out like when he was the day of.
Right.
And one kills himself. The other one gets brain tumors. But they just wanted to be. They didn't want to be involved in it. They had no idea their father had perpetrated this. And it was fucking over their friends and their families. No idea.
But what do you, and do you think possibly their ability to like remove, you know, that from the internet could possibly like, it's like a shit smudge of a problem, right?
I guess it's for people who want to start again, maybe not, you know, high profile, but if someone like that who's been traumatized, or, you know, you're going to be like Elizabeth Smart, that girl who was kidnapped, you know, eventually you're
going to be wiped clean.
Yeah. Like maybe I want to reset.
Okay.
You know what? I tell you what I like about this, and I like most of the topics we discussed on here, I don't find out about them until you send us the list. I have no idea what's going on in America. But this is a global thing.
This UK law. This is only the UK. Oh, it's UK law. Through. Yeah, no, it's not.
I think this is a great idea, because I think what will happen is so many people will complain about, you know, my friend Tina, whoever I'm not a friend with anymore, using a photo of me, that it will cause such problems for Facebook that, God willing, Facebook collapses.
Yeah,
and it is no more.
You know
that as much as the freedoms it gives us, I would like to see social media completely dismantled.
I can tell you something heinous that you may know from the, and it's even hard. You don't want to proliferate it because we're talking about something that could possibly be like want to be buried. No. But I think we both mutually know a man who like wasn't very popular in his circle by all accounts, and everybody's interactions with him, no matter how minute, a complete dickosaurus.
Yeah.
But he was falsely accused of trolling online and like, you know, underage like procurement of sex and like falsely accused of that, and like of producing pornography and all kinds of like stacking it up, like, and it was just the Crown doubling down with threats to try and get a lesser charge to stick. So, and this guy's life is like, it's unreal. He's in jail, he's, you know, naked for a few days on the slab waiting to never get out for months and months, and it turns out that it's utterly bunk. Complete fiction.
And you know, he was a dick, though, right?
He was a dick.
That's one of those occasions where you wished you were a better person. Because if I'm accused of pedophile. Yeah, well, fuck you. I'll face the fucking ass.
I'll see you in court.
You gotta make sure you're a nice person in case you ever get a pedophile charge.
Yeah,
that's
Barbara.
The
hey, guess
that's
what?
The
happened?
Only reason to be a nice person.
But you know, the argument is, and it was mentioned that like his life is utterly done. Right? Like, imagine trying to get a job.
Well, that falsely accusing, like, especially of pedophilia or sexual assault.
Yeah.
If it is false, and those claims, when they do, obviously when it happens, it's horrible. When but it doesn't happen, that's fucking horrible. Because you say there's no recourse for someone. It's not like you can sue back. Like, hey, you know how you guys said I raped all those kids?
They should.
Turns out I was at home watching Netflix. Can I have an apology?
They should. Well, they should issue an apology. Mm. Back to the notion.
But
of
they
apology.
Do. But it's a page. It's like a page 8 apology. It's like
I know.
A redaction. And
I don't know if I've probably mentioned this on this program before, but you know, like the only time I thought Donald Trump was going to lose, because I thought the moment he announced he was running, I thought that guy's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the world needs now. They want somebody to go fuck you to everything,
complete the song.
To even social politeness. I mean, just we're going to fuck you to all of it. We're sick of it.
It would benefit
sick of your
though,
fucking
from
ribbons and your dance and all that.
Love, sweet love.
Oh God. That's after every jihadi attack. Then we hear about love. We have to have the death first, and then we have the love.
We have to forgive and forget.
But no, the only time I thought he was going to lose was when he apologized, and I remember. I was on a National Express. We stopped off at the services. I saw him like looking different on the television at the services, and I go, "Oh fuck, he's apologizing." And you remember, they never want an apology. The other side never wants an apology. They want you to apologize only so they can go, "Ha ha." And I thought, that's
I think
it.
It's quite disarming, though, isn't it? As well, it further humanizes you.
The apology.
To apology, yes, of course. Yeah, I think you may have different theories.
I don't think he had anything to apologize for. He had nothing to apologize for one.
I don't even
know
what he did.
It's different than saying, I did not have sexual relations
with that woman.
Yeah.
Even though you got a blowy in the White House and you lied about it.
Yeah.
That's just fucking horrible.
I think it's valid that you could like feel that you wish you weren't caught for saying that.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a, you know, there's maybe a bit of a purging of self. But I think that it's a theory behind why, you know, we had, it was the mayor of Toronto.
Rob Ford. Ford.
Rob Ford.
I voted for him, by the way. I really liked him. Yeah.
And
saved
course,
a lot of money. He was a really efficient mayor. And I don't
care
about him. Yeah, and a human.
For sure.
So he smoked crack at parties. He was a nice guy.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah. He was a good guy. Yeah.
For the same reason, I think that people can't really understand that maybe from a more like, not socialist, but like a bit socialist Canadian perspective.
Well, you see, by the way, you see what
pro weed I'm more.
What does the left wing, you know, the Democrats especially love when they find out that a Republican, I mean, you know, some Republican senator turns out to be gay, and he's secretly closeted.
You know, bust that guy wide open, ruin his life.
You talk about homophobia; it comes right from the gay community towards that guy.
Weird.
Whereas in reality, it's like, you know what? If you are an individual, if you regard yourself as an individual, and I remember some stupid fucking collective, you'll see that it actually probably, if you are gay, makes more sense to be on the right wing than the left wing. Because if you're on the left wing, at the nicest, at the least threatening, they'll just turn you into a collective, and you'll have to go do the same fucking pride dance every year. At the worst, they'll just forgive your murderers on the global level when they hang your fellow homosexual in Iran.
So is it like the Democrats they're sort of like the Borg?
What's that?
They're like the Borg from Star Trek.
That's a sci-fi
thing. That's a Star Trek.
I've never seen Star Trek.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
I have a schizophrenic uncle who was really into it, and I thought that it was catchy.
I'm going to wind it down there for guys. Thanks a lot, Will Frank and Craig Campbell. Will, you've got your movie. When are we going to be able to see it, and where will we see it when it comes out?
We're hoping between the 15th of August and the 20th of August. We're hoping to air it at the various screenings around London. We're not going to throw it away on YouTube, partly because copyright. I'm sure we're going to throw it out there and go, you've used Asiko's Koto in G minor, so you know, who knows?
Yeah, okay.
And I'm touring. I got my touring coming out. I got my launch tour show on the 2nd of September, which is invite only anyway. You can't come, punks, so don't even think about it.
Where are you touring the UK, touring Europe?
Touring the UK, but the first show's in Norway in a couple of weeks, so that's pretty cool up until September 2018. And you can check that out on ENDS24 Craig Campbell tour dates, or moosefucker.com is where I'd go if I was any kind of hero.
That's where I would go as well. I'm Wade McWayne, guys. Thanks for tuning in another episode of Scrotus POTUS.